Okay, I want to see if you can help me identify where you first heard this song. Someday my prince will come. Someday we'll meet again. And away to his castle we'll go to be happy forever. I know. Anybody? Yes, I heard it. Snow White, yes. It's Snow White's song that she sings. Someday my... And Barbara Streisand sang it later. I can't get to those notes, so I won't even try. But in the story of Snow White, there's this anticipation and hope that a prince will come and rescue her. Those are the words that Snow White sang, waiting for her prince. Someday my prince will come. You can read fairy tales written from all around the world that have this theme in it. Fairy tales written in Europe, fairy tales written in China that express hope in a prince who will come to the rescue. Friends, you and I have a better hope because our hope is not based in a fairy tale. Our hope is based in reality. We are here this morning not to study myths or legends. We are here to study history, his story. You won't find in this book the words once upon a time. Instead, you'll find words like this, and it came to pass. Right? It came to pass that in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the whole world would be taxed. Our story is a true story. Granted, it's a tall tale, but it's a true tall tale of the coming of Christ. And this morning, we're going to look at a foretelling, a prophecy of that coming. We're going to look at how this prince, how his life would be foretold. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. If you're able to stand, will you stand with us for the reading of God's word? Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. As in the day of Midian's defeat, you shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. This is God's word. You may be seated. Over this past month of these past four Sundays of Advent, we've been looking at this passage. So for those of you who haven't been here, let me just kind of bring you up to speed. One of the things we've been thinking about is this idea, and unfortunately in our day and age, it's an idea that might be contrary to popular belief. But one of the things we've been thinking about is putting ourselves in the mindset of the people in which... to whom Isaiah was writing when he wrote, and this idea that children are a blessing from the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Children are a blessing from the Lord. I know in our day and age, there are a lot of people who see children and think of them as a burden. That is not the case. Children are a blessing. And for people in Isaiah's time, even more so. Think about it. They lived in a day and age in which there was no social security. Okay, so there's, in your old age, who's going to take care of you? The government? No, the government ain't taking care of you in Isaiah's time, in your old age. Your kids are going to take care of you. Not only are they going to take care of you, there's, as bad as our government can sometimes be, the governments back then could be oppressive. There was exploitation of the elderly, and so you wanted to have strong young men around to protect you and provide for you. And not only that, children meant not only protection and provision, but they meant hope. They meant that you had a future, that the things you had worked for, the things you had gained in your life, the inheritance was something you could pass on that wouldn't just be swallowed up by thieves or robbers or foreign governments. Children are a blessing from the Lord. But when we come across verse 6, these familiar words, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, it's almost strange language. It's almost strange language because, well, think about it. Normally the only people who would say to us a child is born are parents. But here, Isaiah seems to be indicating that this child was born to not just a set of parents, but to a whole people. In fact, that resonates with the language that we see in the angel's announcement, right? Remember when the angels showed up to the shepherds and said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all." let me just, and this is kind of a side note. So everywhere there are people who are submitting to the rule and reign of God, that's where the kingdom of God. For us, he is the wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God who fights for us. He is the one who in his mercy has taken enemies like us and reconciled us unto him. I read these past few weeks this excellent book by Timothy Keller called Hidden Christmas, and and find you're thirsty and you find a little drinking fountain and you run up past it and drinking out of a fire hose. It'll be glorious. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me this morning? I pray first, oh God,